sure you are getting the most out of your retirement? For all the years of your retirement? That's the primary goal of More Living with Jim Brogan and our Dollars and Cents segment, where we provide you with an important financial tip that will help positively impact the quality of your life in retirement. And now, here's Jim with this week's Dollars and Cents tip.
What is the most overlooked area in estate planning today that I see most people do not have their arms around correctly? And in my view, with what I see in my office, it is how have you named beneficiaries on your retirement accounts? IRA, 401k, 403b, 457, the whole alphabet soup of retirement accounts, including IRAs, including Roth accounts. So what's important to understand is that when you name a beneficiary, when you pass away and your beneficiary is living, if you have a living beneficiary, the beneficiary designation supersedes the will, anything that's in the will. So in other words, the will is meaningless when it comes to passing on your retirement accounts as long as you have a living beneficiary. And that creates opportunities, but it also creates some real challenges. The opportunity is when you name a beneficiary, you bypass probate and go directly to the kids. All they do is produce a death certificate. They get the assets. So, you know, it's not stuck in probate. You don't have the publicity, you know, all that stuff that goes along with probate. So that's a great opportunity, but it creates challenges. I mean, think about if you've done a will, how many pages is your will? And typically what I see is anywhere from 8 to 10 or 12 pages. I mean, they could be shorter, they could be longer, but that's kind of what I typically see. And there's a lot of legal language in there that's very, very important. And that legal language covers things that could happen that are outside the purview of what you typically think about. So like, what if people don't die in the right order? What if there's a minor beneficiary? So there's a lot of, and many more things, but there's all this legal language in there. Well, but then how long is the form that you use to name a beneficiary? It's not long at all. Typically, it's a box on a form. We don't even give it a second thought. You just fill it in. Maybe you name your spouse if you're married, and then your kids as contingent. You don't think twice about it. Yet that little box on the form has total control over and authority over how that asset is passed. And for most of you listening, especially if you're up to 50 or a little bit older, I mean, you add up all your retirement accounts, it's your first or second largest asset, with your house being the other. For many of you listening, it is your single largest asset when you add up all the retirement accounts of you and your spouse, if you're married. Yet you have this little box on a form that's completely governing what everybody, what happens when you're gone. And there's two big issues. What if things don't happen the right way? What if there's a minor? There's, you know, what if one child wants to do one thing and another child wants to do another? Believe it or not, with beneficiary designations, you could get in a big, big problem there. If one child wants to cash in and the other child does not, on an IRA or a 401k, you could get into a big problem there when you name beneficiaries for retirement accounts. The other issue is the taxation that's due on your retirement accounts. Remember, everything except for a Roth, most, if not all that money, you've never paid any of the income tax on it. And according to the IRS, over 90% of all IRAs are cashed in when the second spouse dies. So if you didn't pay the income tax, who's going to pay the income tax? Your kids are going to pay the income tax, not estate tax, income tax. So I'll be honest, when I do my college class, my two-part adult education, I spend an hour and 15 minutes of the 4 hours just on retirement accounts, how you take money out while you're alive, and what happens when you're gone. Because it's so overlooked, and you get kids, we get surprises, and you get big tax time bombs that go off, and the kids owe this huge tax bill. So it's not as simple as you think. Now, I have a beneficiary checklist on my website. And the first thing you're going to notice when you download my beneficiary checklist, it's like 3 or 4 pages long. And the first thing that you'll probably think is, I didn't know it was this complicated. And that's the whole point. You can't just fill out a box on a form and cover the stuff adequately you need to be covering. So I'd urge you to get that beneficiary checklist. Go to BroganFinancial.com. That's www.BroganFinancial.com. Click on the top menu. Click on resources. And just scroll down, and it's like the second resource there. It says beneficiary checklist. Click on that. You can download that checklist. It'll be eye-opening when you see all the things you need to be thinking about when you name a beneficiary. Is it the most overlooked area in estate planning today? It absolutely is, in my view. Most people don't have their arms around this properly and don't have it properly coordinated with their legal documents. So again, check out my beneficiary checklist, BroganFinancial.com. Click on resources and make sure that you have this piece of your estate plan in place.
That's our Dollars and Cents segment for this week. You can find this week's Dollars and Cents segment and others by visiting BroganFinancial.com.